And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. Great to be back after the weekend, although I was not with you on Friday because I was at the Value Voters Summit at the American Family Radio, American Family Association luncheon. With everybody, Wesley and Abraham Hamilton III, and Wesley Wildman, Abraham Hamilton III, and their wives and children, and we had a great time too. And I'm sure that some of you were there. I didn't get a chance to speak to all of you, but I'm sure that some of you were there. So it was good to have you there. Thank you for supporting the things that we do. And thank you for being at the Value Voters Summit. I think that's an extremely important event, particularly at these times. And while I couldn't stay until Saturday night, my understanding is that the president was there on Saturday night speaking as well. And didn't get a chance to listen to his speech. It's been a very, very busy weekend. I hope most of you did. I got bits and pieces of it, snippets of it along the way. But, you know, the president is always in fine form in these venues, and God bless him. We just have to keep praying for him because he is really facing an onslaught, and it's a rather sad thing to witness, but I'm godly proud of him, and I'm grateful for him that he's got the fortitude to stand in the face of the vicious attacks that he is undergoing. Well, look, folks, I'm your host, E.W. Jackson, here on American Family Radio, and we're glad that you're with us. Keep praying for us. Keep listening. Keep encouraging others to listen, because I'm convinced that this becomes just increasingly more important as we see the degeneration of our culture and politics in America. It's got to turn around at some point, and I think we've got the right president in place to help make that happen, but it's going to require you and me praying and working in our own fields of action. Speaking of that, I'm sure you all remember that on November the 11th, I'm having an event. I'm so grateful to God for this. It is our first annual gala for our organization, STAND, for Staying True to America's National Destiny. You know, our mission is to bring people together across racial and cultural lines to uphold and preserve our Judeo-Christian values and heritage, our Constitution, our individual liberty, our free markets, all of those things that make America great. And I think they're all rooted and grounded in Judeo-Christian values and principles. And we're honoring General Jerry Boykin, twice wounded in combat for our country, former Special Ops Commander Jenny Thomas, who is the wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. But we're honoring her for her work in trying to help this country separate and apart from what he does, of course, which is non-political. And we're honoring Ken Blackwell, former Secretary of State of Ohio and former Mayor of Cincinnati and UN Ambassador for Civil Rights. And last but certainly not least, Star Parker. Star Parker is a real heroine. She has been on the front lines of trying to bring free market conservative principles into the inner city, something I'm committed to as well. And I really admire the work that she's done, pulling herself up by the bootstraps, so to speak, a former welfare mom who just decided that life had more to offer and this country had opportunities and she was going to make the most of them and began a whole new life for herself. So those are the people we're honoring. We're giving them the George Washington Award for taking a stand. George Washington is my favorite American hero because I really believe that without George Washington and the stature and the integrity that that man had, we would not have a country. I believe he really was the indispensable man that God used to help bring about the establishment, the birth of the United States of America. And I think he was the one person that people of all backgrounds admired and listened to. The only president unanimously elected by the Electoral College twice, only president to have that happen, because he was a man of unique stature. So we're giving them the George Washington Award for taking a stand. Look, that's going to happen on November the 11th. reception at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, the dinner at the Alexandria, Hilton Old Town Alexandria in Alexandria, Virginia. So if you'd like to go, go to our website, standamerica.us, and you can get tickets there, and you can find out about table sponsorships there and that sort of thing. But we're looking forward to it. It's exactly 1 month, exactly 4 weeks from today. So I hope you'll join in and support us. And we do this not only by way of helping our organization, but by way of encouraging and inspiring people that there are folks on the front line who are taking a stand. And we want to honor them, and we want to gain inspiration from them that, yes, this is a fight worth having. And we're going to keep fighting the good fight of faith until our country ultimately turns around and finds its foundational principles again and secures its future. All right, folks, the number here is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. I'm not going to take any calls at this very moment, but make a note of that because I'm sure you're going to want to call in. And remember, let people know that they can listen to us not only on the various radio stations that we have around the country, but they can listen to us on AFR.net. We live stream all of our programming there, and we'd love to have all of you participate. By the way, sorry that a lot of this segment's taken up in these sort of announcements, but I'm going to be in Iowa. And in fact, I interviewed one of my hosts last Thursday. I'm going to be in Iowa on, actually, I'm going to be down in Florida on Thursday night. I'm going to be in Iowa on Friday and Saturday and Sunday and Monday and Tuesday. And so if you're listening in Iowa, you can find out more about what we're going to be doing in Iowa by going to our website again, or you can email me at ewj@standamerica.us. I won't try to get into all the details. Maybe I'll do that before I head up on the trip to give you some details about exactly where I'm going to be, because I'm going to be at about four locations in Iowa. So I'm going to be all over the state for the time that I'm there doing a tour on our Stand Against Communism project to try to alert people to the dangers of socialism and Marxism and communism. Now, that leads me right into our discussion. You know, I'm sure you all are aware of this, but doing what I do and doing it the way that I do it gets a lot of criticism. And of course, you know, I have a lot of people who it's always nice when I go out and people, you know, commend me and encourage me, and I really do appreciate it. I appreciate it all the more because I know there are plenty of people out there who don't like me and don't appreciate it because of the things that I do and say. And you know, folks, it comes with the territory. I'm not bothered by the criticism. I'm not even really bothered by the threats. I mean, as long as people don't actually take any action to hurt me or my family, I just slough that stuff off. I really do. You know what really bothers me more than anything else? What bothers me more than anything else is when people denigrate my country. Folks, I'm serious about this. I take that a lot more seriously than I take people saying something negative about me. Because, you know, I mean, the reality is, I know God loves me. And in that sense, I'm as important as anybody else on the earth to him. But I mean, you know, I don't take myself that seriously. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, how dare anyone say anything against me? I just don't think that way. But, you know, when people start denigrating my country, that really bothers me. It causes a whole host of emotions. It causes anger. When I see Americans do it who should appreciate the blessings of being an American, frankly, it causes some sadness in my heart because I just think to myself, well, what's the future of our country if our own people blessed to live here don't have any appreciation for it and hate it? So we're going to continue back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. Already 51 attorneys general have signed on to an antitrust investigation into the business practices of Google. Ken Paxton, Texas Attorney General, recently wrote about why they were looking at Google's dominance in the marketplace. He cited Louisiana Attorney General Jeff Landry, who posed an interesting hypothetical question. Imagine America before the invention of radio or television, when print media, especially newspapers, were the source of content. Would we allow one person or one company to own all the printing presses, printing ink, and printing paper in the country? The answer, of course, is no. Although it's a good analogy, Ken Paxton says that it doesn't fully reflect the dominance of this tech giant. He says for a more complete picture, we would need to add, at the very least, that the company also owns most of the stores where you can buy most of the widely read newspapers and is effectively the only company that can sell you an ad in any newspaper throughout the country. He also adds that Google is also the only source for businesses to find out what newspapers their potential customers are reading. I've often said that if a service on the internet is free, then you are the product. Google is collecting massive amounts of information on you through Google searches, Gmail, Chrome, and other Google services. It then connects advertisers that want to place online ads with publishers who want to sell advertising space on their websites. And because it has so much data on you, it can guarantee very targeted ads. These attorneys general want to answer whether Google gained and maintained control over these various markets by merit or by unfair, anti-competitive practices. This is an investigation worth pursuing. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Antisemitism, go to viewpoints.info/antisemitism. viewpoints.info/antisemitism.
Should you allow your kids to dress up for Halloween parties at school?
Welcome to Tips with public school educator Dr. Bill Ziegler.
The fall season brings about the color of the leaves, it brings about harvest time, but it also brings Halloween. And I know for some people, Halloween is a controversial topic. But I think that parents should allow their kids to participate in Halloween events in their school. The reason for that is because it builds community. It builds a sense that they are part of the school. You can do it in a way that's simple and honoring to God. Kids could dress up as superheroes, they could dress up as athletes or heroes that they have in their own lives. It doesn't have to be something dark and scary, but it could be something that sends a positive message. It also doesn't need to cost you an arm and a leg. Find a way to get creative with the items that you have in your home to get your kids dressed up for that Halloween party at school.
Great educational resources are available at 4tips.org. That's the number 4, T-I-P-P-S.O-R-G.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back, folks. So, now why did I bring this stuff up about, people denigrating and talking against our country really bothers me. I mean, it bothers me when anybody does it. I think it particularly bothers me when American citizens do it. That's one of the reasons why I had absolutely no respect for Barack Obama. I respected the fact that he was president, and if I'd ever met him personally, I would have respected the presidency and treated him with respect as a human being and as president of the United States. But I had no respect for him as a person because, in my view, he hated our country. I still believe that. I believe that Barack Obama hates America. I believe he has no love lost for this country at all. I never once heard the man express any kind of affection, any kind of love, any kind of admiration for our country. What we heard him do more than anything else was denigrate America, and apparently Ocasio-Cortez, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, has gone overseas and has been doing the same thing, comparing us unfavorably to other nations. My thought is, well, why don't you stay there and leave us alone? I mean, you think it's so great, just go there. Go live in Cuba or communist China. But that aside, so what does that have to do with anything? What's that have to do with the issues? Here's what I'm concerned about right now. You know, Google is a hotbed of leftist thinking. And we've seen that in story after story. But I think the worst thing that I'm hearing, and by the way, I do think that there is going to ultimately be some kind of need for some intervention with these big tech companies. And I have a big libertarian streak, but I do have a limit. I think something's got to be done about these big tech companies. I think they're too powerful. They control too much of our ability to communicate with each other. And their discrimination against conservatives, to me, is the equivalent of a telephone company telling you, well, if you leave a message that is conservative on anybody's voicemail, we're going to delete that message. We're not going to allow it to go through. To me, that's the equivalent, because we communicate with these social media platforms now in a way that we once communicated only by telephone, right? Or the post office saying, well, if I find out that I'm going to open your letter and read it. And if I find out the content of your letter is conservative, we will not send it through. And that, to me, is the equivalent of what we've got going on right now with Google and Facebook and Twitter. I mean, I'm still banned from Twitter because of something that I said, which in my view factually wasn't wrong, and it wasn't even insulting. I said something about Islam attacking Christians, and well, there are people in Islam. I said it was Muslims attacking Christians violently, not Christians attacking Muslims, and that's true. And Twitter banned me for that. I guess they claim that was Islamophobic or hateful, or I mean, it's just factual. So when you start shutting down people's ability to communicate because you don't like their viewpoint, and you have as much power and influence over the ability of people to communicate as big tech does now, I think there's got to be some intervention. But anyway, that's a digression. Google, as you all know, has gotten involved with China. They've been involved with China for a long, long time. Okay? But I just read a story today that talks about the fact that they are, and according to this is from a whistleblower who revealed this information, that they are working with China on the equivalent of a high-tech Manhattan project that takes artificial intelligence to a whole new level. And I'm quoting this guy, Voorhees, who revealed this information. He says, Google brought this AI company called DeepMind, and let me put it in plain language. He said, DeepMind was creating a godlike AI system that is able to ingest the available public information on the internet and make sense of it. Think of it like Amazon Alexa, except much, much, much more intelligent. See, the AI system was moved out of the UK and placed into China. Google is working with China. Remember, this is how the Chinese government intends to monitor all of their citizens. Now, folks, I have not seen not an iota of patriotism come out of Google. In fact, these big tech companies act like they're insulted or offended to be thought of as American companies. That's a sad commentary. But this goes beyond even insulting and denigrating the country. This, to me, folks, approaches treason. It really does. It approaches treason. Now, I'm a lawyer, and I realize there are technical requirements involved with treason. You've got to be found to be aiding and abetting an enemy of the United States. But, the spirit of treason is when you are doing something that you know is capable of creating great harm for your country and for your fellow citizens. And to the extent that Google is in effect empowering what I consider to be a mortal enemy of the United States. Folks, let's not kid ourselves. Xi Jinping is a communist dictator. In fact, while there's a story today about his saying that anybody who opposes China, and he's talking about Chinese citizens, anybody who opposes the Chinese government, he said, we're going to ground their bones into powder. He actually said that in a speech. And he was referring primarily to the protesters in Taiwan. He said, we're going to ground their bones to powder and smash their bodies. Or you know, vice versa. We're going to smash their bodies and ground their bones into powder. And Google is using their great technological capability to advance this brutal, vicious dictator. And let there be no mistake, folks, Xi Jinping is a brutal, vicious dictator. Now, I know it might not be politic for a Secretary of State to say that or for a president to say that, but I'm not president. I'm a radio talk show host, and my job is to tell you the truth. And that is the truth. This man's been persecuting Christians, and by the way, not only Christians, to be fair. He's been persecuting Muslims. He's been persecuting Buddhists. You know, the Tibetan monks have come under his scrutiny and his pressure. A number of them have been arrested and imprisoned. This man is, as he's not, as Joe Biden said, good folks. No, he's not good folks. And when we have these businesses like Google that want to denigrate America, but want to, in effect, facilitate the power and expanse and advancement of a brutal communist dictatorship. Folks, to me, that's the spirit of treason. And, you know, maybe it's time to start using that kind of language, because as far as I'm concerned, what Joe Biden and his son have done, if what we suspect they've done is true, I mean, Hunter Biden has just resigned from a Chinese board, but if what we suspect is true, they have committed treason against the United States of America, because they have used their position in this country to enrich themselves by the hands of our enemies, which means that, come on, listen, we know what that means. That means that you've got to do their bidding. I mean, you don't walk away with $1.5 billion from a communist country as a result. And let's face it, we all know, right? Without Xi Jinping, that would not be possible, because he controls everything and everybody. There's no freedom in China. There's no companies in China that would say to Xi Jinping, well, you know what? We know you don't like him, but we like him, so we're going to use him anyway. Folks, that's a joke. If he speaks, everybody in China understands that they must listen and they must obey. And we've got one of the major companies in this country built because of the freedom and the opportunity that we have here that is now empowering our mortal enemy. And folks, I pray that this never happens, and it depends upon how we read the eschatology of Revelation. Some people argue that Gog and Magog represent, obviously they represent two major world powers, and the ones that fit that bill today would be Russia and China. And it talks about the fact that these are going to seek to overrun the world, and you know, will be part of this final battle that is going to happen between Jesus and the forces of darkness and led by the Antichrist. Well, here again, however you may read biblical eschatology, the reality is that communist China is an enemy of freedom. And to the extent that we as Americans believe in freedom and our government continues to represent a free people, there's always the potential for an armed conflict. I mean, it's just that's just the reality. Now, here again, I don't want that, and I certainly wouldn't want any leader to do anything to precipitate that. But I think we'd be fools to pretend that could never happen, right? I think China is always looking to see, under what circumstances could they defeat the United States of America in an armed conflict? And you've got Americans helping them? Back in a moment.
It's my turn. Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
For 17 years, the Green Gate was a striptease club in San Antonio, Texas. All kinds of people came to the Green Gate. Some were lonely people seeking companionship. Some were frustrated people trying to sap a temporary thrill from a life that had no meaning. Some were ignorant people who thought life offered nothing higher than a bottle of booze and a naked dame. The Green Gate is closed now. It's out of business. It wasn't so much a lack of business that closed the Green Gate. It was more of a change of attitude on the part of the owner. Guy Linton closed down his club and said it will stay closed. Linton even posted a sign over the club door which read, "Closed forever." There's many clubs like the Green Gate still in operation across the country, thousands of them. There people can go to find lights low, music loud, and booze plentiful. Many of them do a thriving business, living off the superficial food they offer to the deep hunger in the human heart. Dr. Gallup ran a poll on happiness many years ago. He found that the most unhappy people were those who visited the taverns and clubs. Isn't that strange? The people out having a good time, supposedly, are the most unhappy people you'll find. Will Rogers, a man of a day gone by, used to tell about a druggist who was asked if he ever took time off from his duties to have a good time. The druggist said that he did not, but that he sold a lot of headache medicine to those who did. What is a good time? How do you define it? Is it something that has no lasting value in it? Is gone when you wake up the next morning? Or is it the deep satisfaction that comes from knowing you're drinking deep from the cup of life offered by the Father? Surely happiness comes from having some great objective, beneficial to mankind, and single-mindedly pursuing that objective with all the strength in oneself. Some of those who are seeking happiness in the clubs and taverns are surprised when they finally find happiness. They're surprised to find that it comes not from a club, but from a cause, a great and demanding cause. Guy Linton found it in this manner. You see, Linton made his decision to close the Green Gate after listening to a sermon. Guy Linton has, to use the familiar words, changed over to the Lord's side. But don't worry about the Green Gate. Linton has said that the Green Gate will be turned into a religious bookstore. Let's hope the Green Gate keeps its same customers that it had for many years. And unless other club owners are ready to close down their clubs, we advise them to stay away from the Man of Galilee.
This has been My Turn with Don Weilman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Yeah, folks, this stuff of denigrating our country, attacking our people for upholding the Constitution, Judeo-Christian values, individual liberty, while kowtowing to a communist dictator who recently marched down the streets of, he was in Nepal, and they had some kind of parade for him, and you know, gigantic pictures of himself. Because these communist dictators always seek to be God. That's why they don't want the people believing in God, because they know if you believe in God, it shrinks a human being into their proper proportions. But if you don't believe in God, then a human being can set himself up in the minds of the people to be God. And that's exactly what Xi Jinping is doing. As far as I'm concerned, folks, Xi Jinping, Stalin, Hitler, Lenin, Castro, Pol Pot, Ho Chi Minh, Mao Zedong, they're all the same ilk. They're all monsters. because they don't acknowledge the right of a human being to liberty and to the ability to pursue his or her God-given gifts and abilities without government dictating what they can and cannot do and what they must and must not be and what they can and cannot think or say. All these monsters had the same attitude, and if you didn't comply, you were tortured, imprisoned, or killed. They all had exactly the same strategy, and Xi Jinping is no different. And here we have a nation of freedom and opportunity and hope. And with each individual, nobody has to wake up in the, or nobody has to lie in bed at night in this country thinking, what did I say at, or well, let me amend that. At least you don't have to lie in bed at night wondering if you said something that will cause the police to come knocking on your door that night and spirit you away, never to be heard of again. Now, sometimes I think Americans do find themselves wondering if they've gotten themselves into trouble by saying the wrong thing to the wrong people. Like saying, well, I believe marriage is a union between one man and one woman. Oh, that's nothing. Oh, yes, it's something. That's a very big thing. If you work for one of these corporations today and you say that, that's a very big thing. You've got Beto O'Rourke threatening to take away our guns and saying now the churches need to be taxed. If you won't perform a same-sex marriage, if you won't hire homosexuals to work in your ministry, you should have your tax exemption taken away. And you got Rashida Tlaib running around talking about we need to arrest the people in the Trump administration. She said, we'll volunteer. Well, we'll keep them in Detroit. I mean, if a conservative joked about arresting and holding people in detention to force them to testify about something of a political nature, the left would be up in arms. Oh, we knew it. They're right-wing crazies. They're Nazis. And they go around and say this stuff, not a peep. Not a peep out of the mainstream media. The NBA was all up in arms over North Carolina. North Carolina passed a family safety bill that said, you know, if you are a biological male or vice versa, you cannot go into the restroom of your choice. You must go into the restroom that's designated for that biological status. Oh, my goodness gracious. You would have thought that somebody had put on a Ku Klux Klan uniform and come parading right down the middle of Charlotte. Because, you know, the NBA, oh, we're diverse and we're not going to do business in North Carolina. And then with Communist China tells them that you better not say anything against Communist China. Or for that matter, they didn't even say something against. They just spoke. Somebody just said, one of the managers said something in favor of the Hong Kong protesters. And the NBA just went into wimp mode. Stephen Curry and others, well, I just don't know enough about this to be able to comment because I'm not that educated on it. I don't know the history. I don't know the background. I don't know. Oh, come on. You know what communism is? You know what a communist dictatorship is? You know what it means when these people in Hong Kong are flying American flags and singing the national anthem and saying, we want the kind of freedom Americans enjoy? You know, folks, I tell you, I've had it. You know, I'm going to double down on calling out these treasonous, traitorous Americans who seem much more willing to laud and bow down to every inhumane thing that some communist will do anywhere in the world. And then when it comes to Americans simply fighting to stand up for our religious liberty, we're evil, we're haters, we're terrible people, we need to be put in jail, our churches need to have their tax exemption removed, we need to have our guns taken away. I mean, get rid of the First Amendment, get rid of the Second Amendment, we don't need that stuff. Oh, Xi Jinping, oh, he's good folks. He's good folks. I mean, folks, this stuff is just, it's beyond the pale. It really is. It is beyond the pale. The number is 888-589-8840. I'll take your calls as they come in. 888-589-8840. And you know the sad thing, folks? Do you know that there was a time when there were Democrats who were virulently anti-communist? I'm serious. There were times, folks, when there was a time. I mean, Kennedy, John Kennedy primarily, Robert Kennedy to some extent as well, but Scoop Jackson and some of the Lyndon Johnson, these people were virulently anti-communist. I dare say there's not a one of them in the bunch now that is. There might be, but I dare say there's not a one of them in the bunch. I think they have a romantic fantasy about communism. I think they'd love to see this country become a communist country. They would never admit that or say that, but I think they have a romantic fantasy that America would be so much better off. Do you remember Woody Allen saying while Barack Obama was president, you know, we ought to just let him be dictator for just a little while so he could get things straightened out. Just be dictator for just a little while. And, you know, I didn't hear the mass media, the mainstream media go, oh, well, that's terrible. What's wrong with him? That's a crazy thought. He wasn't the only one who said it either. That's a crazy thought. I mean, I'm a supporter of President Trump. I don't want President Trump to be dictator for any period of time or anybody else. I don't care how much I like them. Because I know that that's antithetical to everything this country stands for. And we work out our differences not with these trumped up, forgive the pun, folks, trumped up impeachment charges. We resolve these differences on election day, and the people decide. And those who lose become the loyal opposition, but they don't try to undermine the process itself and invalidate the process itself because they don't like the outcome. Because, folks, you know what happens in countries where that's the way everybody thinks? People shed blood. There's violence in the streets. Because the process itself is not sufficiently respected that people accept the outcome and then go on to continue to argue about the policies of an administration. The Democrats have morphed into a bunch of third world banana republic revolutionaries. And Antifa is their militant arm. In fact, folks, you know, and to show how deep this stuff gets, I was really, really disappointed today to hear that this former Fox reporter criticizing Fox because of its opinion department and calling it right wing and say Shepard Smith was just great. I'm thinking to myself, wow. Folks, you would think as a reporter he would shut up, but no. He wants people to know where he stands. Back in a moment.
Sometimes the hardest thing to do is put into words what I've put onto a canvas. It really is, you know, because everything that was in my heart was put into the painting.
Artistic inspiration can be difficult to describe, but artist Morgan Weisling explains how an idea came to him on Focus on the Family Minute.
You don't light a candle and put it under a bowl and hide it, but you put it on the lampstand so that the whole world can see it. And that light being the good news, sharing the gospel. Be children of light. That was the other immediately that came to me. And so children with light, it was like instantaneous. I knew this was going to be the first painting I wanted to do because it was just something that was like sitting there in my heart always to do. And then all of a sudden it was like, this is the time I was waiting for, you know, to
well, it's beautiful.
That. Hear more from Morgan at familyminute.org.
AFR's own J.J. Jasper is a morning on-air personality, author, comedian, Christian, and family man. J.J.'s also a keynote speaker at banquets, men's ministry events, pregnancy center fundraisers, and more. Here's what others are saying.
J.J. helped us set a record for the most funds raised at our banquet.
This banquet was our best banquet ever, thanks to J.J. Jasper.
Information on J.J.'s availability to speak at your event is at jjjasper.com. It was a bad move. Target invited men who say they feel like women into restrooms and changing areas designated for women. They probably guessed other retailers would follow their lead, but they were wrong. Others saw that bandwagon was headed in the wrong direction. We're not ready to sacrifice the safety of women and children for the sake of progressive bathroom policies. Invite Target to make a better move. Sign the Boycott Target Pledge at afa.net.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
We're going to come right to the calls. And let me not neglect to mention Bernie Sanders criticizing Elizabeth Warren because she said that I'm a capitalist. Well, sure, she lied. She's not a capitalist. She just said that because she thought it would help her politically, but she's not a capitalist. That's quite clear from everything else she's been saying. But Bernie Sanders, true to himself, says, I'm not a capitalist. And we know that. You're a communist. But he just didn't finish it. I wish he had. The number is 888-589-8840. And let's go to, I'm going to see, Randy, if this worked for me. Corey nope, it's not working, Randy. Corey in Dallas, Texas. Randy, can you bring him up for me? Or Marty? All right, folks, sorry about this. I've got a little control board problem. Laura? Laura, is that you?
Yes, hello.
Hi, Laura, you're on.
Hi. I just wanted to say, and I completely agree with you about Xi Jinping and the situation with Hong Kong and China, but if we're going to bring up the fact that Biden called him a good folk, we have to also remember that Trump, on several different occasions, or a few occasions at least, called him a good man, called him a brilliant leader, called him a great man, and all of those things. So I think we just need to be careful that we're presenting the truth on both sides. And I appreciate Donald Trump, and he's actually doing a great job, but he definitely has his own flaws as well. So.
Oh, we know that. We know that. And, you know, this is the only difference. These folks like Biden and others, they do things that indicate that they are, in a sense, really enamored of these people and really their puppets. President Trump may say stuff like that, but as far as I can tell, in terms of his behavior, he holds their feet to the fire. And so that's why when he says things like that, I kind of dismiss that as Trump's rhetoric. Whereas when Biden says things like that, and you know that his son's got a $1.5 billion contract, or now we know he's sitting on the Chinese board of a company and he's gotten getting $50,000 to $83,000 a month from some Ukrainian company, it's not just words. The words become important because the words back up behavior that causes you to shudder and go, I mean, are these people selling out our country? whereas there's nothing in President Trump's behavior that would suggest that he is or ever would sell out our country. So that's the distinction I would make there, Laura. But look, that doesn't mean, I've always said, it doesn't mean I agree with every single thing the president says or does, but I just really believe that as a general proposition, his leadership is taking the country in the right direction. And, you know, when you build up a certain amount of goodwill, yeah, you do get a pass on some things because, you know, you look at the totality of the circumstances. I don't think the Democrats and the liberals are in a position to get a pass on anything because not only everything they say, but everything they try to do seems to be antithetical to our Constitution, our values, and our way of life. Okay, let's go to Haywood in Mississippi. Go ahead, Haywood.
Yes, well, first, I want to say thank you for being bold enough to speak out the truth about communism. American people don't understand communism. They need to look at the Chinese Constitution that states they will destroy the West and establish a communist government worldwide. And if you would, comment on the Bolsheviks for the American people. And I thank you for what you do, and I pray for you every day. God bless
you,
brother.
Thank you, Haywood. Thank you very much. Well, Haywood, you're absolutely right. You know, communism has never renounced its commitment to worldwide hegemony. See, because the communist theory, Marx began this process, of course, in his political writings. They believe that it was predetermined, really, by economic evolution, that communism had to dominate the entire world, that ultimately a stateless society would be created. But you know what? That's just a euphemism for a world government in which there are no longer states, but rather really one world government. So you're right. I mean, this is some truly dangerous stuff. And when all this stuff with the borders, that's what it's all about. When the left says, oh, just, you know, we're lacking compassion. We're lacking in caring. We're separating children from their parents. No, we're trying to enforce our laws and we're trying to maintain the integrity of our borders. And we have a right to do that. We have a responsibility to do that. But you know where they're coming from? They're coming from a one world government mindset. That's really where that's coming from. You know, they're internationalists, which means that they really believe that we shouldn't be focused on it. That's why they're offended when the president said, I'm a nationalist. They're offended by that because they're not nationalists. They're internationalists. And that's taking us is precisely toward what the word of God predicts will come, that the entire power of the earth will ultimately be subsumed into one person's hands. That person is called the Antichrist. And so you nailed it. And I appreciate the call. Let's see. Let's go to Sally in Georgia. Sally, welcome.
Yes. Hello, Bishop. How you doing today?
Doing wonderful. Blessed and highly favored. How are you?
I am as well. You know what? Them leftists is lying so much they forgetting the lies they tell because they come back and say something else. They want us to call a man a woman a man. I have a daughter, Bishop, who's confessing homosexuality. I love my child. But I told her, baby, that ain't what God made you and that's not what you are. And I said, I'm not going against God for nobody. The leftist is trying to take away our rights to even say what the truth is. They churches is breaking up that with this mess. Preachers is getting falling into, oh yeah, maybe we can go on and marry these two men and these two women. What is going on? Why they been hiding on the bushel? Is they afraid to talk or what's going on?
Well, you know, Sally, it's interesting you say that because, and I said, I'm not bothered by the criticism I get from these folks, and I'm really not. But recently they jumped on me because I said, you know, they tell so many lies that you can't help but conclude that their father must be the devil because Jesus said the devil is the father of lies. And so if they're lying at every turn, lying, what is that all about? Now they would lie on us and say, well, you hate your daughter. You just say, you love your daughter. Of course you love her. Of course you love her. But you know that the direction in which she's going is not right. And you would be less than a loving parent if you didn't challenge it, if you didn't say anything. So everything that they're doing, Sally, is built on lies. And Jesus said, the truth sets you free, then lies put you in bondage. Sally, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Brent in Mississippi. Brent, welcome.
How you doing, sir? Mr. Jackson, I want to commend you for speaking out what you believe and standing by it and standing firm. I appreciate that. Very few people nowadays do. What I want to call in about is the people don't understand. There's the super smart, supposedly, people that can't understand. They're turning this country into what the people that's fleeing their countries to get into this country into. They're trying to change this into what they're fleeing from into. Does that make any sense?
Hey, Brett, and you know, you would think just a little bit of common sense would help you see that. You know, you just look and say, we're the only country in the world where everybody in the world sees this as the place you need to get to. Now, they can talk about us like dogs. They can call us all, you know, we're imperialists, we're this, we're that. But when the time comes that people are trying to figure out how to get out of a dangerous, difficult, or impoverished situation, where do they want to come? America. And that includes people in Europe, where it's not nearly as bad as it is in some places in the world, but even people in Europe, where do they want to come for economic opportunity? Where do they want to come to build a business, to grow? America. And you would think liberals, instead of running around the world criticizing our country and telling people how bad and unjust the country is, would be going around the world singing our praises and saying, you know what, you all are right to want to come to America. America's a wonderful place to be. But they, for some reason, they just, you know, I say some of these people, they really don't have the sense that God gave a gnat, and in part because they've rejected God. And you know, when you reject God, you really do just go stupid. Let's go to Kathy in Greentown, Indiana. Kathy, welcome.
Hello, how are you?
Fine. How are you?
All right. I've thought a lot about this, how they talk about wanting communism and they're playing into the communist hands. Don't they realize that if we were a communist country, they wouldn't all be in power, that they would be under the communist rules too?
You know, it's interesting that you raise this, Kathy, because I was thinking about this. You know, a lot of the people who supported Lenin and Stalin, you know what ultimately ended up happening to them? They were killed. They were killed. I mean, they were supporting these people. And when things shifted, or they got a little paranoid, or they weren't quite sure, you didn't agree with everything that the leader said, you got executed. Or you got, if you were really blessed, you might just get exiled to Siberia. But most of them were executed. And you're right, these big tech people, these wealthy people who are supporting these communist Marxist ideas, they don't know. They'd be among the first to go. It's the same thing with the left sidling up to Islam. They don't realize Islam does not brook homosexuality. What do they think is going to happen to them in that system? So you're right. I don't get that either, because it's self-destructive. It's the Bible calls it people opposing themselves. Well, folks, that's going to do it for today. Thank you all for praying and listening. God bless you. And remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.